Welcome, fellow explorers. My name is Christian Alexanderson, and this is Hemlocks to Hellbenders, a podcast highlighting Pennsylvania's parks, forests, and great outdoors. It's the spring of 1858. Colonel Edwin Drake from New York is hired by the Seneca Oil Company to investigate suspected oil deposits in Titusville, Pennsylvania. While the existence of petroleum oil was known, there was no considerable market for the material. After months of work, Drake had little to show for his efforts. Undeterred, Drake took out a $500 loan to continue his operation. Then, on August 27, 1859, Drake changed the world. While drilling on an island in Oil Creek at a depth of 69.5 feet, he struck oil. The words, "They've struck oil," roared through the valley as crowds gathered to see the crude oil being hand-pumped to the surface and into a bathtub. The Drake Well was the first commercial oil well in the United States. It led to the world's first oil boom. This monumental discovery would play a pivotal role in the birth of the American oil industry. The wooded area surrounding Oil Creek would go on to be used for searching for black gold that would fuel the Industrial Revolution. 160-plus years after the discovery of oil, the property is now known as Oil Creek State Park. The park is a living museum, preserving the remnants of historic oil derricks, drill sites, and the remains of the industry that forever altered the course of American history. The remnants of oil wells and machinery serve as silent witnesses to an era of discovery, innovation, and the relentless pursuit of wealth that shaped the destiny of a nation. But Oil Creek State Park is not just a testament to the past. It's also a thriving ecosystem that has reclaimed its natural glory. Oil Creek is what I consider a quintessential Pennsylvania park. It includes many of the features that parks in the Commonwealth have. There's flowing water and mountains, forested lands, abundant wildlife, history, heritage, and a lot of recreational activities. Spread across thousands of acres, the park offers a haven for outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife aficionados, and anyone seeking a peaceful retreat. From the babbling creek to the mountain views, Oil Creek has natural beauty that can be enjoyed by all, no matter your age or level of outdoor experience. On this episode, we embark on a journey through time and nature, exploring the captivating story of Oil Creek State Park. But before we get to the interview, here's the stats. Oil Creek State Park is a 6,250-acre park located in Venango County. Available activities include hiking, camping, picnicking, kayaking, wildlife watching, fishing, hunting, biking, sledding, and cross-country skiing. A notable feature of the park is its historic role as the birthplace of the American oil industry. Oil Creek State Park derives its name from Oil Creek, a tributary of the Allegheny River, which was given its name by French and British explorers due to the natural oil seeps in the region. Nearby towns include Oil City, Franklin, Titusville, Pleasantville, and Tionesta. State parks that are close by include M.K. Goddard, Cook Forest, and Clear Creek State Parks. You may enjoy the park if you enjoy beautiful scenery, outdoor recreation, and history. I'm excited to welcome David Hallman to the podcast. David is the park manager of Oil Creek State Park. David, thanks so much for joining the program.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
How would you describe the park to someone who's never been there before?
Usually when I have people that come to the park that have never been here before, I describe our park as a very outdoorsy park. So we don't have like the big traditional campground that a lot of parks have or a big lake feature and marina that so many people flock to. So we're big woods, a very linear park, about 12 miles long, and we follow the valley. So when people come here, they're coming here to hike. They're coming here for the fly fishing opportunity, for our bike trail, for our overnight facilities we have in the form of Adirondack shelters. There's a passenger train that comes through the park during the summer and on a few dates through the fall. So if you're looking for seclusion, this is a park that you can find it in.
What do you love most about the park?
What I love most about the park is the topography. It reminds me a lot of where I grew up and where I recreated as a youth, and the people. And that's something that kind of surprised me when I got into this business, because I'm typically on my free time a solitary fella, and I enjoy my solitude and my time fishing and hunting in the woods. But when I'm working in the park, I really enjoy meeting the people that come here, finding out what they like about the park, and pointing them in new directions of what they can learn, or maybe even other parks that I think they might be interested in. And even about ways that we can improve this park and make their experience even better. So I really enjoy talking to the people that come here and use this park.
Is there something you think everyone should experience when they visit?
No, it depends. This is a very hard park to see by vehicle. So it depends on their interests. So, you know, if they're more of the into the hiking, you know, I'll point out, and depending on the time and how far that they want to go, you know, we'll sit there and kind of plan out a hike with them. You know, if it's the biking, I'm going to point them in the direction to the bike trail. If they're interested into the history, we have several self-guided interpretive tours that they can participate in, and I'll also point them to Drake Well Museum if they're interested in history. They do a great job of telling the history of the oil area around here, and we share a border at our northern end up in Titusville.
Well, let's get a little bit into that history. The Oil Creek Valley is the site of the world's first commercial oil well. Oil Creek State Park plays an important role in the early petroleum industry. What can you tell us about that in the park's history?
A lot, you know, it takes a long time to tell the story, but, you know, they discovered the oil. Edwin Drake discovered in 1859. And from there, it was kind of like the gold rush out west, where it just was a large boom. And up went the houses and banks and churches. And where our office sits now, there was a population of over 5,000 people in the town of Petroleum Center. So it really was a large hub and such a quick boom. You know, a lot of times you can tell the story simply by a lot of the pictures that we have here and what Drake Well has up at their museum of how it all unfolded. But it was an extremely busy place. Of course, everybody was out trying to make as much money as they possibly could, as quickly as they possibly could. And it looked like a hard life, and you can see it from the photographs and the stories that people continue to tell today that have been handed down through families. But there was money to be had, and they went after it. And you can see it in the landscape in the photos, where it had went from, you know, a lush vegetation and pristine forest to void of trees. And there's just buildings and oil all over the place, and the streets were full of mud. And there were stories at times when the creek actually caught on fire because of the pollutants that were in the creek.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's a long story to tell, and I don't have all the time in the world to tell it here, but, you know, if people come out, we can help tell that a little better if they're interested in that side of things.
Well, let's talk about that. Where can visitors learn more about the history of the valley at the park?
Well, like I said, Drake Well is a great place, and we don't try to take too much away from them and how they tell the story, but we also tell the story here as well. So there's a lot of different ways. I know by the train, if you we don't operate and run the train. So it's Oil Creek and Titusville Railroad, that takes people on there. They own the train. So, and they do tell the story. If you're getting just a general weekend ride, they will help tell the story as they come down through the valley. So you can sit on the train, and they have speakers in there and someone that kind of depicts what they're seeing and what went on back in the day. We do have a self-guided interpretive tour at our Blood Farm area. It's about a half a mile walking tour with kiosks along the way that tell the story about the Blood family. And there's also old oil machinery still there. And it kind of goes into describing what you're seeing and how they use that machinery to get the oil out of the ground. We have one it's about a 45-minute walking tour by our park office. It starts, or we did. It's kind of under construction now. We're going to redo that with new interpretive signs and a new boardwalk. And people can go through that at their own leisure. And we do have a train station on that same side of the creek, where people can, when it's open on weekends, it's volunteer run, but there's some historical information in there as well. And we also provide environmental ed programs. So if people are interested in that, we have a seasonal educator, typically provides programming here at the park from April to about mid to late October. So people can keep an eye out for her programs on our calendar events and see if anything piques their interest there as well.
If a visitor has a full day to explore the park, what do you recommend they do?
I'm going to ask them what they like to do. So if it's hiking, then I'll help them and kind of go over what kind of hike is most appropriate for them. If it's history, I'm going to direct them towards what I just spoke about there a few seconds ago, and then point them to Drake Well as well. But, you know, you can, if you're looking up to fill a day, like the train ride, the train will also take bikes or kayaks when the level is appropriate to kayak on the creek. You can burn a whole day just doing that from taking a bike and choo-choo or a kayak and choo-choo. So they'd have to reach out to OC&T for that. But yeah, it really depends on what they're looking to do. If it's fishing, I can fill your day with fishing. If it's hunting, we have a tremendous amount of hunting opportunity and trapping opportunity in the park. And you can burn a day awfully fast doing various types of recreation. We have ski trails in the winter whenever it does snow here. They were traditionally have been groomed ski trails, but our concessionaire has since kind of retired. So we're looking for someone else to see if they'll be willing to take that on. And if not, it's free to come and cut your own track and ski as well. So, yeah, it just depends on what type of recreation you're into.
Let's say somebody shows up and they're not really sure, but they want to get a real good flavor of the park in a couple hours. What do you recommend they do? Is there a certain hike or a certain activity that you recommend they do? Or is it, once again, kind of talking to them and seeing what they want to do and basing it off of that?
Yeah, I'll give them the options. I'll say, what's the time? How much time do you have? And here's the activities we have to help you burn some of those hours. So a lot of people, we do keep a few bikes on hand here at the park that we rent out. So if it's something that you came here, maybe we weren't planning on doing, we do have bikes and helmets that we rent out to people. So I'll offer that. A lot of different hikes and the interpretive, self-guided interpretive tours. But, you know, a lot of times it's a hike, and we're just gauging whether they have small children or the topography that they think they can handle. And we kind of go from there and pick a good hike. Very hard to see and do everything here in just one day, especially on the hiking portion of it, because we have a pretty large trail system.
And now let's hear from our sponsors. It's Saturday morning in your favorite kind of weather. It's a day for hiking. Clearly marked blazes guide you safely along the unobstructed trail, allowing you to get lost in the wonder of nature. Keystone Trails Association makes these moments possible for you and Pennsylvania's great outdoors. KTA's members are dedicated to providing, preserving, protecting, and promoting recreational hiking trails and hiking opportunities in Pennsylvania. Join KTA to help protect the trails you love. New members use the code HELLBENDERS at www.kta-hike.org to save $5 on a yearly membership. Are you looking for your next adventure? Unlock some of the best landscapes in Pennsylvania with incredibly detailed, highly curated, waterproof maps from the folks at Purple Lizard. They create extraordinary maps of Pennsylvania State Forest for people who love to explore the outdoors. Find them at your local outfitters, bike shops, and bookstores, or visit purplelizard.com, where your next adventure begins. Hey, podcast explorers. Did you know Pennsylvania state parks and forests are the heartbeat of our Commonwealth? They're not just natural wonders. They're vital for our well-being and local economies. That's where the Pennsylvania Parks and Forest Foundation steps in. They rally volunteers, raise funds, and advocate for these precious lands. Join the movement to preserve and enjoy our outdoor treasures. Learn more at paparksandforests.org. Let's keep Pennsylvania untamed and beautiful together. All right, back to the show. Well, let's talk about the hiking. Oil Creek is home to 61 miles of hiking trails. What kind of trails can people expect to see when they visit?
Well, we have a popular attraction here is our Girard hiking trail. So it goes the whole way around the park to the tune of about 36 miles. And people, we have a large trail running community here and a big hiking community. And on the east, we have Adirondack shelters that can be rented on the east and west side of the creek. So they're one night stays only. So people are looking to see and experience that Girard hiking trail. There's multiple ways they can do it. So they could plan out like a 2 or 3 day hike, reserving shelters at both locations and attempt to do the entire loop. And if they're not interested in doing the full 36 miles, we can shorten that. There's several bridge crossings throughout the valley that we can shorten that where they don't have to do the full 36.
Would you say there's a variety between difficult and easy trails?
There are, in addition to the Girard, we have our cross-country ski trails that are also hiking trails when there's not snow on them. They are a bit easier. You don't have to deal. They're basically on top of one of our ridges, so you don't have the big up and downs that you will with the Girard. So if they're looking for a flatter trail, I'll often point people to our cross-country ski trails. And all said and told, there's almost 12 miles of cross-country ski trails. If they're not looking to get their feet wet or dirty and they don't have a whole lot of time, an out and back on our bike trail is a nice hike as well. You know, it's very scenic. It follows the creek up the valley, and they can just go as far as they want and then come back. We also have some hiking trails over in our Wildcat Hollow that are shorter loops if people are short on time or have small children that are also very good. So we have just about anything you're looking for is in terms of hiking goes.
For those looking for biking options, Oil Creek has a 9.7 mile paved multi-use trail. What kind of scenery can riders expect if they take that?
Well, you're going up through the valley, so it's a very popular trail. It's also part of the Erie to Pittsburgh trail, and that brings a lot of people in as they do the various segments of that trail. So when you're going up through the valley, there's a lot of wetland, a lot of thick areas, but you're also going to get to see the big timber and the hills as they go on through there. And the nice thing about it is the seasons. As they change, you get the summer crowd, but they also seem to come back for the fall as the leaves are changing. It's also a real big time of year for us as far as biking goes. Now, when winter hits and the snow gets on there, it becomes icy and compacted, so the biking pretty much ends when we have a hard winter. But it's also open to people can cross-country ski that bike trail as well, or snowshoe on it.
Do you have a favorite time of year in the park?
Fall. Fall's just always been my favorite time of year growing up. I find the weather more favorable for me that time of year. I like the changing of the colors and going into the winter season. So fall is my favorite time. I think maybe a lot of our visitors here might disagree. A lot of people seem to like the summer months, but fall is definitely my favorite time.
When I visited the park, I was fortunate enough to see kind of a beautiful moment of, I was hiking and I saw somebody fly fishing. I just kind of stood there for a little bit and watched them just to see what, you know, what they were doing, if they were getting any luck. I got to see somebody catch a fish, and it was kind of a great moment of discovery and exploration and kind of just having a great time in an activity I don't necessarily participate in. What kind of fly fishing opportunities are there?
Well, we have through Oil Creek, we have all of it's open to trout. So it's a stock trout waters. We're a warm water fishery, so there pretty much wouldn't be trout in here if we weren't putting them in. So we stock the creek four times a year. So they'll have a delayed harvest. I mean, we have two delayed harvest sections, which the delayed harvest is catch and release for the most part until a certain time of year, then you're allowed to keep so many out of it. And it's artificial lures only. But when we stock the entire stretch from our southern entrance at the park, clean up to up through Drake Well. So you can find solitude if you want. It does get busy, but there's a lot of options, especially if you're looking to bike to a fishing spot or hike to a fishing spot. And we're also part of the Keystone Select designation, where they throw more of the large breeder trout, the trophy trout, they call them, into the creek. So that's been another big draw. We get a lot of good hatches for those looking to fish for dry fly. But there's a little bit of everything, and we got a lot of room and area to do it. So seems to be very popular with a lot of people from Ohio and New York, not only with the fishing, but also the hiking and recreating as well.
The park is home to four waterfalls. How can visitors see them?
They're located along our trail, and they're also indicated on the map. The best time of year is when you're catching the transition between winter and spring, especially if we have a large a fair amount of snowpack. As that snow is melting and we're getting those spring rains, those waterfalls will kind of be at their peak. Now, as you go into June and July, they become kind of more of water trickles. So people kind of keep that in mind. They're not huge waterfalls by any means, but they are scenic whenever we have the flow. So if you're hoping to see them through the summer, you're kind of playing on big rain events and getting to see those. But I recommend doing them in the early spring. But yeah, and if they have trouble finding them, like I said, they are located on our map. Some of them are fairly easy to get to, and a couple of them you got to put a few miles on before you get to them.
What sort of events are hosted at the park?
We have a lot of race style events. The biggest one that we have is called the Oil Creek 100 Ultra Run, and it's gone on for the past 16, 17 years. Usually the first weekend or second weekend in October is when it takes place. And it's three different races. Actually, this year, I think they've added a fourth. So this year, they're running a 25K, a 50K, a 100K, and a 100-miler all at the same time. They'll go out different intervals, but it takes place over the same weekend. So that's the biggest and most arduous event that we have here at the park. We also share some events with Drake Wellbeing at our northern border. They kind of host the event, but they're coming through the park. So we'll have several 5 and 10Ks and different runs there. We just had a marathon. The Drake Well Marathon took place last weekend, which is also a qualifier for the Boston Marathon.
Oh, wow.
Our friends group, the Friends of Oil Creek State Park, has put on for the past handful of years an event called Chicks in the Sticks, which is directed. You've probably heard of some of the Women in the Outdoors events. Mm-hmm. that go on at some of the parks. This is kind of a spin-off of that with the same name, but the same idea behind it, where we're focused on women in the outdoors. And typically it's a one-day event. Women can sign up and shoot and select four different events for that day, and they have about 19 to 20 some different events that they can select from to make up their four. We also have a biathlon that takes place in August. This was actually the last year for that, but it was a run and a 22 shoot biathlon that we've had here that's always been well attended. Those are kind of our big ones here.
The primary purpose of Oil Creek State Park is to tell the story of a changing landscape. How do you think the landscape has shifted from petroleum extraction to recreation?
Yeah, like I said earlier, when you look at the pictures from back in the day when the oil boom was at its height, and you just look, and you can match it up to where you're looking at a photo and you glance up into the woods and you're looking at the same spot. And it's amazing to see how a place can go from what looked almost like a wasteland, so to speak, to how Mother Nature can recover if you just leave her to her own devices. And how it rebounds. And it's just a lush forest now, with teeming with all kinds of wildlife, and it's pretty impressive. So our photographs here and at Drake Well really help tell the story of the recovery process throughout this valley. And it's still going on today. We have wells throughout the park that have been capped. We used to have a volunteer group called the Orphan Well Hunters. That's what they did. They not only in Oil Creek State Park, but they'd go throughout Venango County looking for and identifying abandoned wells that they would document and send to DEP, which would then put on a plugging list. And then as funds became available, whether they were from the state or through grant funding, they would get plugged. But we have thousands of wells that are identified, and we can only guess it to how many more that have not been identified.
You know, I get asked a lot for recommendations about which parks to go to. I was fortunate enough in 2021 to run a mile at every state park, so I have a little bit of experience and kind of recommendations for people. And it always seems that people are a little surprised when I say Oil Creek. And what I consider the park to be a very Pennsylvania state park. It's got the mountains and forests, and it's got the water access, and it's got history. What do you see people experience when they visit for the first time?
We get a lot of compliments. We really do. And especially from people, and I'll talk to, like, on some weekends, I'll be here and I'll see more Ohio license plates in the park than I do from Pennsylvania. And that's what they're seeking. And it's not only people from Ohio and New York, but from Pittsburgh and Erie and Meadville and a lot of places out east where they're just looking for that type of environment. You know, whether where they live now was, you know, built up with industry, or a lot of places in Ohio are just flat and they don't have that topography that they're looking for. So it seems to be the topography that people are looking for and are attracted to this park.
Though I've only visited the park once, I was able to have a lot of really great moments and experiences just driving in and seeing these big, beautiful trees. I highly recommend visiting this park for anyone who's listening, especially if you're from Pennsylvania. You should explore the places that are in your backyard. It's great. Do you have any tips for people who plan on visiting the park, or suggestions that might make their visit as enjoyable as possible?
Yeah, do your research a little bit. You know, go online, go through our website. And it depends what you're doing, especially if you haven't been here before and you're looking to spend the night in one of our Adirondack shelters and you've never been on our trail. It can behoove you to, especially if you have questions and you've gone through our website and it's still up in the air and you still have questions, please call the office. We can really help make your trip a little more seamless, especially if you're not familiar with the park. So, yeah, just do your research. Feel free to call us and we'll help you out and help plan your trip according to what your likes are.
I'm guessing you guys have GPS issues sometimes and Wi-Fi. I'm sure you guys don't have Wi-Fi up there, right?
Currently, we do not have Wi-Fi now. So, yeah, so cell service can be an issue depending on what your provider is. Cell phones that operate off of AT&T towers seem to do a little bit better than Verizon here. But again, it depends on what part of the park you're in, if you're down in the valley or what ridgetop you're on as far as. And I have seen that improve over the past 10 years a little bit, but we're not perfect. You will find some dead zones within the park.
David, thanks so much for talking to us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I enjoyed my time.
I want to thank my guest, David Hallman, for joining the podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Meta for more information about upcoming episodes. You can support the podcast by buying merch at hemlockstohellbenders.com. If you're a Pennsylvania business interested in advertising with the podcast, email us at hemlockstohellbenders@gmail.com. This has been Hemlocks to Hellbenders. I'll see you out there. Hosting, production, and editing by Christian Alexanderson. Music by John Sauer. Graphics by Matt Davis.